So there's always been a little reluctance on my part to speak too much about myself in a homily, because the whole of Mass is ultimately the praise of the Father through Jesus in the Holy Spirit. It's not about the priest. It's not about the people. It's ultimately about God. And so oftentimes I keep my stories focused on things that are a little embarrassing or a little humorous, help to illustrate the point of the gospel. Yesterday I did something I absolutely never thought I would do, which was compete in a weightlifting competition at the St. Michael Barbell Club, and I did really well. I deadlifted over twice my body weight, which you may look at me and go, that's not that much. No, it's not, but proportionally, that's a lot. Now, I don't say this or share this as a means of going, look at how awesome Father Aaron is. Yeah, he's working on his health. You know, praise me, think how awesome I am. No, I was actually struck in making conversation with someone yesterday. They were asking how my health was in light of all of this kind of new working out that I've been doing. And, you know, praise God, I was able to tell them how far I have come. And those of you who've been here now for almost 3 years know that I was sent here because I was, in essence, convalescing after having a recurrence of some of my chronic stuff. I was down to 116 pounds and was not the picture of health. And I had been in that place before. And this person said to me, you know, thanks for sharing your journey with us, Father. And so that got me thinking, because it has indeed been a journey that has taught me a great deal, not about just my body or my health, but really my heart. Because when St. Paul says a person will only reap what he sows, because one who sows for his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, the one who sows for the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit, that is the dynamic of all of our spiritual lives in the desire to change, to grow, to live out the holiness that God calls us to. And we don't look at something that is bad and go, I want that. Right? As human beings made in the image and likeness of God, we are made for goodness. We seek goodness. We seek out sin because we substitute a temporary goodness for the eternal goodness. But we're still trying to seek a good. And the way that the evil one draws us into that so often is through open wounds of the heart, lies, and vows that we take in response to that. And for me, that was the biggest obstacle to getting healthy, making the choices that I needed to make. I would go, I don't need it, or gosh, why am I so lazy? Why can't I just motivate myself? Or even stubbornly, I don't need to be one of those guys throwing weights around and getting, I can be healthy without that. And as I spent time in prayer, really reflecting on that, the Lord drew me to a realization that it came from a place of woundedness in my own heart. That I was sowing in that field of the flesh, sort of stubborn self-will, refusing to do everything I needed to take care of myself, because I remembered being that kid in elementary school, getting picked last. Fine, if nobody will choose me, I don't need to be athletic. I don't need to take care of myself. I'll only take care of my mind. And several other lies that for decades, literally, have spoken into my mind and my heart, encouraging me continually to sow in a field that is the field of the flesh, because it's contrary to what God's desire is in making us a union of body and soul. And ultimately, leading to a certain stubbornness in something that Bishop himself had asked me to do, focus on getting healthy. And so being able to say and to show people of God, hey, I'm exercising now. Hey, I'm growing. It's really a proclamation. God is healing me. God has set me free. Not necessarily healing my body, because I'm very aware my body, everyone else's body, we will age. Our joints will get tired. We won't have the same energy that we used to. God doesn't ask us to be, you know, immortal gods and goddesses in our bodies, though it gives us a glimpse of what is in store for us in heaven when we consider what a healthy body can be here on earth. But instead, the healing of the heart, the lies that hurt not just my body, but my soul and my relationship with the Lord, because I could only see myself in certain areas as a weak little kid who wasn't worthy of attention or concern or care because of these things that I kept telling myself, fed by the malice of the evil one. But we see once again what the heart of God is. In the gospel today, we see Jesus raise this young man. You can still go to Nain today. Nain is small, insignificant still. If you have a tour or a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, at the most, what they'll probably do is stop, show you Nain out the window, and say, hey, remember, Jesus raised a dead man there for his mother. But when we hear this context, that this is the only son of this woman and that she was a widow, society told her she now no longer had worth or value. She had literally no legal protection. And the general fate of women in this situation was, if they were older, they became beggars, died on the streets. If they were younger, they would make money off of themselves. Jesus, in raising her son, is not just doing a nice thing for a family. He is revealing how the heart of God desires to guard his people from the horrible ways that the fallen world, our own fallenness and the evil one, would try and define us. He is pointing us continually to the eternal life that we can reap from the Spirit. Again, not because we are so tough and awesome and motivate ourselves, but because he brings a power that cannot be found anywhere else to those places that we would write off as dead, belonging to the past and beyond our care. So where do we have that in our own lives, in our own hearts? Where have we set some aspect of ourselves in a coffin and carried it away, going, that's gone? What are we not even willing to attempt or try in the life of virtue? Because we go, I'm not strong enough. There's no way. How many times have I failed in the past? Or where have we beat our heads against a proverbial brick wall, asking ourselves, why are you this way? Why can't you just get over X, Y, or Z? Why can't you just do that differently? And so we give up hope. But we see God's heart is set on healing us, on raising us up. This is why Paul encourages the people of God to correct one another in a gentle spirit, avoiding giving in to the temptation either of the person being corrected or an unjust anger, seeking to bear one another's burdens so that we will fulfill the law of Christ, the law of Christ that seeks to make new sons and daughters of the Father. Each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason to boast with regard to himself alone. Right, so God desires to make us strong, not on our own, but with him, and desires that we would help him do the same for others. And it is hard. It's good for us to remember. Thomas Aquinas says there are two kinds of courage. There is the courage that says, I'll charge that machine gun nest. I'll go through enemy lines. And that is laudable and praiseworthy. But he says the greater courage is to endure evil patiently. And this is because it moves us to a spirit of humility, reliance upon the Lord for each and every moment, trusting not in our own power or a surge of adrenaline, but in God. And so we're reminded by Paul, let us not grow tired of doing good, for in due time we shall reap our harvest if we do not give up. So yes, let's look at the things that we have written off as dead, buried beyond the help even of God in our hearts, and renounce those lies, bringing them before the Lord, perhaps as we receive communion, that he may touch them and bring life to them. But also let us think, how is God asking me to do good this day, this week ahead, my life as a whole? Because Paul says, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all. This is how we persevere, not on our own, but with the power and the heart of God that desires our wholeness and holiness behind us, within us, sustaining us. So may we not fear to draw close to that power today in the Eucharist, and also be not afraid to then persevere in the good and seeking to share the good that comes from the heart of God with others.